To some degree, this is a pose, the sort of pose of the aristocratic rake, very characteristic of the time, but it was also, to some extent, the life he chose to live. He finally married at the age of 31 to an 18-year-old woman who everyone said was the most dazzling beauty in St. Petersburg. And at this point, he wrote to a friend that while he loved her greatly, it's worth noting that she was, his words, the 113th love of my life. Again, a pose, but telling. Most importantly, Pushkin's literary writing, so influential, so popular, also reflected this culture of play. First of all, it reflected it quite literally. For example, in his famous novel in verse, Eugene Onegin, Yevgeny Onegin, begins with a detailed and truly loving description of the pleasures of city life, especially in St. Petersburg. Strasbourg pâté, dancers' feet, French champagne, books, elegant clothing, and all the rest of the glories of physical, indulgent life in the capital. All this weaves through the whole poem, in fact. Secondly, and perhaps even more essential, his writing itself was deliberately playful. He explicitly rejected any notion that there ought to be high seriousness in poetry, or so he continually said publicly. For example, in 1825, he was corresponding with somebody about one of the poems that he had recently written called The Gypsies, and he responds as follows. He said, "You ask me, what is the aim of poetry? Good Lord, the aim of poetry is poetry." And this was reflected in his writing, which was exceptionally versatile, playful, creative, imaginative. He wrote, in fact, in virtually every known style throughout Europe and developed others of his own. He wrote epics. He wrote satirical ditties. And his tone of voice shifted back and forth from poem to poem and even within individual poems. At one moment, he wrote with great high seriousness, with bloody banners and dead horses on the field. At another, he wrote with witty mockery or even a little bit of mild obscenity. Sometimes he bared his soul deeply. Other times he was quite distant and aloof. In fact, lots of literary critics have talked about his style of writing as protean, as shifting, as open-ended, as inconstant flux. In a word, and this is characteristic of elite culture in Russia at the time, he reveled in the imagination, reveled in the creative forms of writing, and occasionally not only poetry, but prose. This was, in fact, essential to the pleasure people found in reading him, essential to his popularity, central to the culture of his time. Which isn't to say this wasn't serious play. Pushkin worked hard on his writings. He tried to make them look brilliant and easy. Again, to some degree, this was a pose. It's clear because his manuscripts so show careful crafting, much rewriting. Now, it has to be said that many literate Russians were beginning to get tired of Pushkin's virtuosity and protean style. Already in 1825, there were some complaints that he wasn't sufficiently high-minded, not serious enough. And in fact, by the early 1830s, one begins to see a decline in sales of his books. It seems in some ways Pushkin was becoming passé. And then he died, suddenly and tragically. By 1836, his situation had in fact become increasingly difficult, some would say desperate. His popularity as an author was waning. His debts from gambling were growing. And there were continuing problems with the Tsar, and in particular with the official given charge of censoring all his works. And finally, insult was added to injury. And rumors came to him about a flirtation, or worse, between his wife and a rather good-looking young cavalry officer named Georges Danté, a French émigré who was the adopted son of the Dutch ambassador to Russia. On top of that, he receives a letter, while already worrying about this flirtation with Danté, that suggests that there was a liaison between his wife and the Tsar himself. Remember, this isn't out of the question. His wife was the greatest beauty of Petersburg. The Tsar was considered one of the most handsome and dashing men in the city, not to mention the most powerful. Pushkin decided to challenge Danté to a duel. And they almost fought until Dante agreed to settle the matter by marrying Pushkin's sister-in-law, his wife's sister, who was also quite good-looking. And Pushkin agreed at that point to back down, that this settled it, there would be no more flirtation.